Mike, listen to these 5-star reviews. I can't believe I got my order so fast. Easiest exchange ever. A loyal customer for life. In the last 2 months, our reviews are better than ever.
That's because we leveled up our fulfillment process by switching to ShipStation. They're way more comprehensive than other solutions, and we save up to 90% off all major carriers.
Ugh, best upgrade ever.
Upgrade to ShipStation today to get a 60-day free trial at ShipStation.com, code audio.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
There was a lot of money at play. There was a lot going on here. Let's play this from the other angle for a second. Not necessarily Wendy's angle, but had Dan survived? Because I think a lot of people are able to relate to this. We've all been able to relate to this story in many different ways. But the dynamics change, obviously, if he lives, if this never happens. He's still dealing with all of the behaviors he alleged. Block call, secrecy about travel, disputes over school, alienation. If you're a parent in that position, you can't change the other person. Right. So how do you even begin to parent in that sort of an environment when you have this going on, where strategies are going on that a parent is basically using to sabotage the other at every element they possibly can?
Yeah, here's my plug for therapy. Get support. Find somebody who really works with these kind of awful, toxic situations, because you need a place to put your feelings and to work on strategies. And how can you try to parallel parent where you're not letting this leak out all the time? Because it's hard when you're feeling so victimized, it's hard not to let that leak out. And so you want to have some strategies for that. And you have to, unfortunately, minimize contact with the other parent, but in front of the kids, be respectful, not leak out, you know, what's really going on, and do your best to follow the plan and keep a parenting coordinator involved. I mean, a lot of times, at least what I'm seeing here in Oregon, these parenting coordinators are involved until the kid hits 18, just because they need to have somebody who's in the middle and somebody else who's monitoring. And then hopefully that person can report objectively back to the court when somebody's really blowing it over and over. Because the courts have a really hard time sorting out what's true, because people will come into court. He did this, she did that, back and forth, and the judges don't know. Yeah. And so you do have to document everything, which is so hard. It's so stressful psychologically. I think it's one of the you know, having this kind of situation with your children is one of the hardest things people go through.
Well, and I wonder how, you know, what happens when they become adults? You've had this person who's been mediating conversations and things, and suddenly you're an adult and all that drops off. Well, now you're on your own. Mm-hmm. That's a tough dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the mediation, though, is happening between the parents.
Yeah.
And at that point, they don't have to communicate at all. At 18, it's done. Good. Yeah. Over.
But do they stop? That's the thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does it go back to toxic land? Well, at that point, if you don't want to, you just block the person. There's no legal reason you have to be in contact with that human being anymore. They can send all the nasty grams they want. It doesn't make a goddamn bit of difference.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, then they'll likely still continue, even if that does happen, Siobhan. What's likely to happen in that scenario if they're not able to manipulate the opposing parent? Even though the kids are adults now, because they're being blocked left and right, I'm going to guess the manipulation then turns to the child to try and manipulate the parent that way, which essentially you're just using your kid then to get back at somebody else. Another not great parenting move.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes those toxic messages about, we'll say, how awful mom was or how awful dad was, that just continues on as the story forever, and they never can let go of it. But usually the parent who's doing a lot of that, they push the kids away, and they push the kids in the other direction, which is a good thing.
What about this, though? I mean, because we talk about children like suddenly at 18, oh my gosh, their minds are open. Now they can suddenly understand what's going on around them. Kids catch this shit pretty early. They figure it out. And it's not always because mom or dad is saying bad shit about the other parent. They just catch on because they're able, they have agency, they have eyes, they have ears. They can see and hear, especially if one parent is being very blatant about it. Everything directly to the kid within the dynamics of that, their own relationship, or being very blatant just with their actions to the other, to everything else around them. And the kids call the shit out. And there's plenty of kids who don't, that are, I think, are completely aloof to some of these things. And I, and in some ways, I feel the same way about adults that are that aloof. I'm like, it would be fun to live that way for a day and be that aloof to everything that's going on around me. But I'm not. And I think a lot of kids are not either. What about when the kids are catching on, when the kids are seeing this and they're making their own conclusions about mom or dad and their actions, and the parents, you know, they're taught, well, don't say anything negative about mom or dad because about the other party, because you don't want to do that. Isn't it healthier to help that child not feel crazy than be like, no, they're wonderful, they're great, the court says I have to say this or whatever, or just be like completely silent, which I think can also be just as damaging. Like, oh, you feel that way? Okay, great. Thanks. No affirmation, no recognition that their feelings exist or that they have autonomy. That I think is a big thing we don't talk about very much, because kids figure this shit out at a very early age. It ain't teen years. It's like preteen years. I've seen it. I mean, it's a big thing. And I think you can do just as much damage if you don't recognize those feelings as well.
Yeah. You're saying something that's very important, because kids 8, 9, 10 years old, but certainly as they get into their teen years, they start to express it a lot more assertively.
Yeah.
They don't want to go for the weekend visits. They don't want to go for half the summer, and they have really good reasons why they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I see that come up in therapy too, where the therapist has to honor what is very legitimate, you know, and you can sort out when kids have just been brainwashed and when, no, these are really legitimate concerns. And that is often a reason that people go back into court, and attorneys can be appointed, at least where I live, to represent the children. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get out of the mom said, dad said, and the attorney for the children can talk to the therapist and then go back into court and talk with the judge and have a conversation about what is really best for the kids. And sometimes we need to eliminate some of this. You know, they don't need to be all summer over there. They don't need to have all these weekends, and cut it back, because the kids have very strong feelings. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, because people don't realize, or they don't have the resources, you know, but I've seen when there are these things brought up to court, if you have good attorneys, the attorneys can go to the judge and say, judge, we request that, you know, the kids be appointed their own lawyer who's working for their best interest, to kind of get it out of the mom versus dad war.
Mm-hmm. I will speak from my own experience on this. Kids get sick of you trying to sugarcoat shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot, they do, at least in my world, I've seen that, where you do try, you know, for a very long, like, they're not, you know, like, calm down, you know, there's good things here. And you try and be the parent that's going to be open, and you try to play by those rules, and you're like, no, it's not all bad. Like, but at some point they're just going to tell you to shut up. Why do you keep encouraging this relationship that only causes me damage and hurts me? Yeah. And you're, if it were up to the court half the time, if we're up to the way that we think things should work, you're doing just as much damage to that child, even though you're the safe parent.
Yeah.
And that's where I had, at some point, had to be like, yeah, you're right. I have nothing to sugarcoat here. And I don't, and in my world, I don't have to make anything up. I don't want to make anything up. I wouldn't make anything up, but there's just enough there where it's like, well, the facts stand on their own.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where, you know, that's how I've always operated. It's like, well, if someone's going to dig their hole, they're going to dig their hole. I don't need to pitch in with a shovel to go, hey, let's make this a little deeper. Like, Some people just dig and they keep digging. Unfortunately, it's at the damage then of those children. But I think that's a big thing is the sugarcoating of reality for children, because then they're not being heard. They're going to feel they're not being heard. They're going to truly know they're not being heard as they get older and be even more confused as to, well, what the hell? I thought that this world was like this or that. And now it, you know, I'm seeing this and it's not. Or they just know that you're lying to them. And then that hurts any trust that may exist with that parent that is the stable one. And that, again, it's all these things we don't talk about because it's icky.
Yeah. Well, they're very nuanced. Yeah. And yes, we, as a general rule, say speak well of the other parent.
Sure.
But that means that the other parent is a fairly normal person that we want to speak well of. What if the other parent is a sex offender? Yeah, what if the other parent is a drug addict who, you know, is in jail and has done some really awful things? I mean, you can't just go around about, he's a great guy. I mean, the kids can see that there's problems there. When my youngest was fourth grade, I believe, he came to me one day and he was very sincere and he goes, "Mom, why did you ever marry Dad?" He said, "I don't get it." And so, you know, that was the perception of a little kid, that Dad's a bit different than Mom, and he couldn't put two and two together. So I just had to say, you know, I was like a teenager and I didn't really think it through and didn't know what I was doing. And you want to come up with a way to be supportive, try to keep a calm and neutral tone, just because that makes it, you know, a calmer situation to discuss with the kids rather than a hysterical, scary situation. But validating reality is a part of being an attuned parent. Good point.
It's needed. And otherwise, they're not going to be able to validate reality if reality is that fluid. It's not an easy thing. I just kind of operate like I don't have to I don't have to say anything negative. I'm going to operate on facts.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we should have more encouragement of that. So we're not spinning a tale for the children about a world around them that really doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That seems to be a big thing. If you were to give, let's throw this situation out there, because I'm going to guess this may be going on in a home somewhere that has an address tied to Wendy Adelson, with two teenage children in it that are not oblivious to the world around them, that have seen what the hell's going on, that Uncle Charlie's in prison, Grandma's in prison, Grandma and Grandpa tried to flee the country, and they've both been convicted of conspiring to kill their father. And Mom's still in the picture, and she's obviously not been charged with anything as of right now, but things aren't looking the greatest. There's a lot of suspicion around Wendy. How the hell do you parent that when the kids are like, did Grandma conspire to kill Dad? How do you handle that if you were to give Wendy a little parenting advice?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, isn't that hell? These poor kids. How to help them differentiate from the family and help them see that, you know, if it's proven, as it seems to be, that all these things happened, how do you separate from that?
Yeah.
And how do you see that, you know, this history doesn't have to haunt your life? And that's where I think, you know, it needs to come from a therapist, probably from forces outside of Wendy. I can't imagine what happens in school for these kids.
Can you effectively parent at all? I mean, your children, when your family is literally that you were brought up around, it's like these grandparents or the uncle were foreign. These were big parts of these kids' lives.
Yeah.
And it was this happy, supposedly, you know, on the surface when you're a little kid, I'm sure their memories of everybody together are jolly and happy. And then suddenly everybody's going to prison for killing your dad?
Changes the holidays, doesn't it?
Holy crap. I mean, granted, we're talking about this like, oh, boom. But it's a slow build. It's slow manipulation. So who knows if these children have been manipulated for years to think Dad was bad and the Markell family is horrible. And who knows? It may not be as harsh as it is, like it's hitting them like that. But it is going to hit them like that as they get older at some point if they start to put the dots together and go, huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you parent. that. I don't know how you, other than we can't talk about this together, you need to talk to your therapist about that, which again, not ideal, not healthy, that you, your own children can't come to you and have a conversation about your murdered father.
Right. That's one of the insidious things about this. What's healthy in this system and how in the world do you help kids navigate stuff like this? They've got a rocky road ahead. And as I said, I hope they flee to Europe and change their names at some point and just,
I did so.
Just can erase it to the best of their ability. Because, I have to say this would be a very slow, ponderous process of helping them heal from all this.
I would say, you know, if they're ever watching this, you're not attached to your last name.
No.
Yeah. You can change it. In fact, it's not even supposed to be Adelson, technically. It should be Markel. Mm-hmm. Maybe go change that back and maybe get out of Dodge when you can. Life will get better. You can have your own autonomy. You can pretend none of this shit happened. You don't have to tell it. If you change that, you can do it. And you can have your own life that's completely not defined by these people. For Wendy, it might be a little too late. She can go change her name. She can go do some stuff. And for the love of God, I hope that all this stuff that looks Wendy look very bad is optics. And she really was that clueless. And really, I don't want anybody to be a victim of anything, but I hope that the story goes, she was 100% the victim of her family. And that she has no guilt in any of this, and that she is just really a horrible victim of circumstance. And that if that is the case, she can get the hell out of Dodge and do the exact same thing. Change her name, start over, have another life, realize the errors of the ways that you were taught and brought up in. That is not your fault, but you have the other half of your life here to go change. And you can do something completely different. I hope she is not what it's looking like she might be through the prism of Danny Markell's divorce documents.
Yeah, that's perfect advice.
Yeah, or the eyes of Jeff Lacaze.
Yeah, co-signed by me.
Yes. Is everybody else co-sign that? Are we all on board that we hope Wendy's not part of this?
Ding, ding, ding.
Can't say it's going to be real, or that's stranger things have happened. Mm-hmm. So, God, it's just such a horrible, heartbreaking story. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, and the book that you've been referencing, Nightbird, available wherever books are sold. Go check that out. It is a great read and really goes into your story, which is quite incredible. And I think relatable and healing and cathartic for probably many, many people. So I highly suggest checking that out. All right. For Siobhan, for Stacy, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.